40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Saturday night at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. You're going to be ringside there, Nnamdi, for Saul Canelo Alvarez versus Gennady Triple G Golovkin, a much-anticipated world middleweight title fight. Before we talk about Canelo Triple G, let's go back a few weeks, Nnamdi. At the same T-Mobile Arena, Floyd Mayweather scored a 10th round knockout victory over the Irishman Conor McGregor. Can you give us an update on the fight figures in terms of the live gate?
Yes, Sonny, we have just got the numbers from the Nevada State Athletic Commission for the live gate. It did not break the record because we were expecting it to break the record. The record was $72.2 million for the live gate for Manny Pacquiao against Floyd Mayweather. But this fight with Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, which was overhyped, brought in only $55.5 million, which means that the record still stands with Manny Pacquiao against Floyd Mayweather. Well, don't get it all wrong, because people say, well, he did not break a record, But the fee for the gate were just incredible. Remember, Sonny, I mean, you're looking at nosebleeds, $3,500 and ringside for $50,000. So $55.5 million, still a big number.
What about the pay-per-view sales, Nnamdi? Any final figures in there?
We're still waiting for the pay-per-view numbers, Sonny. But remember, the record for the pay-per-view is 4.6 million buy. That was when Manny Pacquiao fought Floyd Mayweather. So we're looking at this fight with McGregor and Mayweather to do more than 4.6. We're looking at it to go in the area of 5.1 or 5.2 million buys.
Nnamdi, do you see any carryover in terms of the fans that watch Mayweather-McGregor now coming back to the arena to see Canelo Triple G?
Yes, Sonny, but you remember before the fight, we were all worried that this fight with Floyd Mayweather and McGregor will do a big damage to the fight game. But the opposite happened, because Floyd Mayweather carried McGregor and made it all look like a great fight, and everybody enjoyed the fight. In America today, the big craze is people going to the gym to box, to learn how to box, men and women, everybody in the boxing gyms. All the boxing gyms are loaded with, we call them weekend warriors. Why? Because why? They enjoy the Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather fight. And everybody's talking about buying Canelo and the Triple G. So we look at it, it's all good. And we look for big numbers come Saturday night.
Saturday night, Triple G, Gennady Golovkin goes up against the Mexican star, Canelo. On the show earlier this week, Nnamdi, world heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua said,
Canelo will just know how to dance out the way of that. You know that one shot you can get hit with three, and it's that one shot. If that would have hit him, I think Canelo's got enough skill to kind of evade that final finishing punch. Golovkin's a beast. He is a beast. But I think he's up against a real talented fighter in Canelo, and I'm really looking forward to it. And if I was a betting man and I had to choose a side, I'm going to go with Team Canelo.
I know you have expressed skepticism about Triple G on the show in the past, Nnamdi. I'm guessing you're going to go with Canelo.
Sorry. I might even put a crib on Canelo. All my friends and boxing gurus thought I've lost my mind. But it's a really great fight, Sonny, because people have been waiting for this fight for 3 years, Sonny. And it took a while for them to make the fight. This fight is happening at the right time. Triple G of 2017 is not Triple G of 2014, 2015. Triple G has been exposed by Kell Brooks, by Danny Jacobs. So if you go back and look at these two fights, you question Triple G's defense. Also, look at the opponents he's fought. I've been saying this for a long time. Your listeners will always remember that I've said this card is all hype. But come Saturday night, we'll get to see what will happen.
Nnamdi Canelo is used to fighting in these marquee matchups in front of a big crowd. He fought Floyd Mayweather, his only loss. That was a big hype fight in Las Vegas. But I don't think Triple G has fought in this type of environment.
I like this situation. I understand this situation. I respect for both, for me and for myself and for Canelo. Right now, this time, you know, this is huge.
This is a big step up for Triple G, Sonny. Remember, this fight is happening during Mexican Independence Day weekend. And we're talking about a boxing style that the fans call Mexican style. Mexican style is about seek and destroy, you know, take you out. These two guys can knock out a cow, Sonny. These are knockout artists, punches, you know. Anything less than somebody being dropped on the floor and the referee's counting him out, the excitement will not be there. The fans are paying for a knockout and blood. So we are all excited. It's a big stage. Millions of eyeballs around the globe. It's a big dance. Triple G has never been to this kind of dance. Will he freeze? We don't know. We'll see Saturday night.
With the power that each of these boxers possess, do you think it will go the distance?
The fans will not be happy if this fight goes 12 rounds, Sonny. We're expecting a fight that will not last 12 rounds. This fight will kind of reminds us of the fight between Marvin Hagler against the Motor City Cobra, the hitman Thomas Hearns, or Thomas Hearns against the Pipino Cuevas, where it was all action, brutal fight. You know, that's what we expect. If it's a 12-round decision, and it was hold and grab and jab and run, and, you know, the fans will not be happy. But if it's a really blowout, crack jaw, crack rib, bloody fight, the fans will go crazy.
Thanks, Nnamdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. The prince of pugilistics talks about how the boxing fans in Vegas will go crazy if Canelo and Triple G drop bombs on Saturday night. Let's go crazy now with the late, great prince.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun. Day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Doctor, everything will be alright. Instead of asking him how much of your time is left, ask him how much of your mind, baby. Cause in this life, things are much harder than in the afterworld. This life, you're on your own. And if the elevator tries to break you down,
That's the American musician Prince with his smash hit from 1984, Let's Go Crazy. Prince died last year at the age of 57. It's official. The International Olympic Committee has awarded the hosting rights to the 2024 Games to Paris and the 2028 Games to Los Angeles. The IOC president is Thomas Bach.
You have seen two games who really represent games with sustainability and feasibility. And you have seen two great projects full of passion, full of love for sport, the Olympic Games, and a great commitment to the Olympic movement.
In terms of the history of the Olympic movement, this marks the third time that Paris and Los Angeles will stage the Olympics. The French capital previously staged the Games in 1900 and 1924, and Los Angeles was host to the Olympics in 1932 and 1984. We'll hear from the mayors of both cities now. First, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti.
And what we experienced was tremendous flexibility, as shown today. We're told that if we read what's going on, that the process is tainted, and it was clean and clear. We're told that it should be it was going to be demanding, and you had to be super ambitious. And instead, it was cooperative and collaborative. And so for me, you know, the advice I would give to cities is don't be scared. I think if they read in the past, I can understand why. Those countries have made tremendous investments in their infrastructure, using the Olympics as the excuse. But cities are becoming more and more realistic. I would just say be yourself. Fit the Olympics to your city. Don't fit your city to the Olympics.
Now let's hear from Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo.
Today, we are very proud and very happy for our country, for my city, of course. But when Paris win, France win also. And we know that with this new opportunity to work with the IOC, with LA in this partnership, new partnership, we have a lot to do together, and we can promote hope for the young people.
Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo, whose city will host the Olympics in 2024, exactly 100 years after it last staged the International Multisports Festival. The International Olympic Committee announcement came at an IOC session in Lima, Peru, and it was far from a surprise. In July, the Los Angeles Olympic Bid Committee agreed to wait to host the Games until 2028, which made Paris the only option for 2024. With fewer cities vying to host the Olympics as costs connected to the event surge, the IOC said at the time it would award the 2024 and 2028 Olympics simultaneously. Getting back to Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti, he mentioned his 5-year-old daughter, Maya, after his city's winning Olympic bid. Mayor Garcetti said he'll see Maya and Los Angeles grow up with new rail lines, a reborn airport, and he also said the Olympics will help spur a bold vision to build a city of opportunity. VOA! I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOASunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOASunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Thursday?
Well, let's start with that story you were just talking about. Los Angeles will host the 2028 Summer Olympics. Very exciting news for the United States, for the city of Los Angeles, and very exciting news for a number of the U.S. teams. We saw them posting on social media talking about how excited they are to be competing in their home country, in some cases their home city for some of these athletes. But we saw posts from USA Volleyball, USA Track and Field, USA Swimming, and the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team saying that they hope to win gold on home soil. So that would be quite exciting for them. The interesting thing, too, is that a lot of the athletes who are currently competing will probably be too old to compete in 11 years when it does come to Los Angeles. But for a lot of these young kids, like Mayor Garcetti's daughter, maybe she'll be competing. A lot of these young kids who are just getting into the sport will be perhaps competing at that Olympics. So very exciting there. And Los Angeles is celebrating in style. We saw photos on social media of landmarks across the city lit up in the official LA 2028 colors, which are purple, red, orange, and yellow. It's meant to represent the colors of a beautiful Los Angeles sunset. So very cool pictures all over social media, those famous LA landmarks lit up. I think it's going to be a very exciting 11 years. It seems like a long way off, but I think it's going to fly by, and we're going to be having the Olympics here before we know it.
Andrew, when I look back on Los Angeles hosting the Olympics way back in 1984, one athlete who comes to mind, Carl Lewis, now retired, great American sprinter and long jumper. And a little Olympic trivia right now, Andrew. I'll put you on the spot.
Uh-oh.
It's okay if you get it wrong. How many gold medals did Carl Lewis win at the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics? How many?
I want to go high here because I don't want to discredit Carl Lewis. I'm going to say 6.
Well, you're close.
Okay.
You're close. He won 4.
4? That was my second guess.
He won 4.
I swear that was actually my second guess.
100 meters, 200 meters, 4x100 meter relay, and the long jump.
Wow. Quite impressive.
And he was a great long jumper.
Yeah. So hoping that we'll get some more gold medals in 11 years. Certainly hoping that we'll get them even sooner when we have the Olympics coming up in 2020, the Summer Olympics in Tokyo, and even in Pyeongchang, Korea, for the Winter Olympics, but something fun to look forward to.
And as you said, some of these very young athletes now who we haven't heard from, we probably will hear from them in 2028.
A whole new crop of athletes for sure.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, we turn to baseball now, and you know, we've been talking about the number of social issues that have engulfed the country with racism and white supremacy, and how these issues have been in the sports world addressed by some of the biggest names like LeBron James and other athletes who have spoken out, like Colin Kaepernick. Well, the issue is making its way into sports again, and this was last night at Fenway Park up in Boston, home of Major League Baseball's Boston Red Sox. Four people unfurled a banner that said, "Racism is as American as baseball." These fans were removed from the ballpark. They weren't banned or arrested or anything. They were just removed in the fourth inning when they unfurled this. And
What did it say again? Racism?
Racism is as American as baseball.
Okay.
So
okay.
Boston Red Sox released a statement saying that you're not allowed to affix any signs to the stadium. They unfurled it on the green monster, the big green wall that Fenway is known for. So they said that's why the fans were removed. Members of this group said after the fact that they did this to draw attention to racism and stopping racism and white supremacy in the United States. Of course, that has been a big issue. Now, people reacting to this on social media, saying that this was a great statement, that it was a way to speak out. Other people saying that's not the place to do it. If you want to try to raise attention for these issues, don't do it by interrupting a sporting event. But many people confused about this wording. You know, you asked me to repeat it because it is kind of a confusing phrase. Some people questioning, are they in support of racism? Are they against racism? What exactly does that wording mean, that racism is as American as baseball? Well, this group did come out and say that they are trying to stop racism. So that was what they meant by that, that it needs to be stamped out, okay. That it can't be something as intrinsically American as baseball. But a little bit of confusion with that sign and a lot of reaction about what they did and how they did it.
Boston, of course, has been a lightning rod for, in terms of sports anyways, the Red Sox were one of the last teams to integrate in terms of bringing black players onto the team. So kind of interesting that they would unfurl that banner at Fenway Park.
Right, and that may have gone into the decision to do it there. Of course, we've talked about a couple weeks ago renaming the famous street in front of Fenway Park Yawkey Way, because named after the former Red Sox owner who refused to sign players like Jackie Robinson and Willie Mays because they were black. So whether this was a good decision or a bad decision is up for debate on social media, but it is certainly getting a lot of attention.
Another topic getting a lot of attention, the Cleveland Indians. We talked about them yesterday going after number 21 in a row. Are the Indians still trending?
They are trending, Sonny, because they've done it. They defeated the Detroit Tigers 5-3 yesterday, so they now have the longest winning streak in Major League Baseball's American League, and they're tied for the longest win streak in Major League Baseball history at 21 wins. Now, we talked yesterday, there is that streak, 26 games of the 1916 New York Giants, but they had a tie in there. So it's kind of an asterisk or a little, you know, a note that you have to put on that saying, well, it's the longest lossless streak, but maybe not the longest win streak. But no matter what fan, you know, what team you're a fan of, or even if you're not a fan of baseball, you have to recognize how impressive this is. And that's what people are doing on social media. They said that this is something that hasn't happened in years since 1935, when the Chicago Cubs won 21 in a row. So it's quite impressive. Fans in Cleveland are celebrating. The videos that they put up of that moment when the last ball was hit into a fly out and the game was over, it felt like it was the end of the World Series. Everybody was on their feet. The stadium was packed full, cheering. It was really great. And so impressive is this this victory that the Cleveland Indians have changed the display name on their official Twitter handle to a string of 21 W's. So that's when you go to @Indians, which is their official Twitter, it's just a string of W's, and they're hoping to add one more, capture that record outright. They can do it tonight against the Kansas City Royals and go for 22 wins in a row.
I'd like to see him do it, Andrew.
22, I would too. And 22. I think a lot of people out there would. They're nicknaming this team America's team. It's something that everybody can get behind for sure.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the September 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zubair. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Now, Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
No business endeavor can succeed without reliable and inexpensive delivery of electric power. Indeed, lack of energy has long been a damper on economic growth in sub-Saharan Africa. Yet today, some 620 million people living in Africa have no access to electricity. That is why 4 years ago, the United States launched the Power Africa Initiative. Power Africa is a partnership made up of 12 U.S. government departments and agencies, African governments, and a diverse coalition of more than 150 public and private sector partners, including bilateral and multilateral partners, international organizations, civil society organizations, and more than 130 private sector companies. Power Africa's approach recognizes that the public sector alone cannot solve the immense challenge of expanding electricity access in Africa, wrote United States Coordinator for Power Africa Andrew Herskowitz at the release of the 2017 Power Africa report. Rather, it is essential that we strategically use limited public funding to leverage large amounts of private capital and create enabling environments that will encourage continued investment for decades to come. Power Africa's goal is to double access to electricity in sub-Saharan Africa by increasing installed generation capacity by 30,000 megawatts and adding 60 million new household and business connections by 2030. Today, Power Africa is among the world's largest public-private partnerships in development history. It brings together more than 150 public and private sector partners. Together, they have committed over $54 billion toward achieving the initiative's goals. As a result, in the 4 years of its existence, Power Africa has facilitated power sector transactions that will generate more than 7,200 megawatts of power and have supported 10 million electrical connections, bringing electricity for the first time ever to over 50 million people. Power Africa has great potential to transform the continent while also creating new and expanded opportunities for U.S. companies, writes USAID Administrator Mark Green. The purpose for foreign assistance should be ending its need to exist. The progress that Power Africa is making shows that this is possible. Its efforts and American leadership have resulted in significant international momentum towards tackling Africa's energy crisis.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for VOA's discussion program, Reporters Roundtable, every Thursday at 1730 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas and take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. So please plan to be with us every Thursday at 1730 UTC right here on VOA.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.